Let's remain standing for prayer, please. Father, we confess tonight, Lord, that we are needy people. Lord, we need you desperately in life. Lord, we'll mess up. We'll ruin our testimony. Lord, we are no match for the devil, the world, the flesh, without you, Lord. Would you hedge us about by your grace? Lord, I thank you that down through life, Lord, you've hedged me and you've helped me, God. I'd have fallen, Lord, if somehow by your grace you hadn't helped me. And Lord, help everybody to realize tonight that we need that hedge of God's power and God's grace around us, or we just, Lord, we'll surely fall. And bless everybody here tonight, and Lord, just draw us close to thee. And Lord, just not only lead us, Lord, tonight and help us tonight, but Lord, would you help us in our homes and our lives, and bless our children, and Lord, bless our church, and would you touch be upon us. Lord, we need that touch from above. Bless Tori. Give him that touch right now as he closes out right now down in Greenville, and just help him down there tonight. And bless us in our study together. Anoint me now, Lord, and give me that touch from above as I teach this lesson. And thank you for the sweet spirit you gave us last Sunday, and would you give us another great day this Lord's Day? Bless our youth meeting Saturday night and our WANA program over there. Our WANA program right now in the other building. And bless the workers and boys and girls over there. And Lord, just help us, and we'll thank you in Jesus. Lord, anoint me now as I preach and teach in Jesus' name. And defeat the devil and hindering spirits in his name. Amen. Amen. Let's just, Patricia Hosses has a friend in Holston Valley Hospital. I meant to announce this a while ago, and I got it in some other papers here. And let's see, Dennis, huh? Donnie. Yeah, you already had two heart attacks. Donnie Julian is having open heart surgery tomorrow, and he is saved. Oh, why don't we just pray for Donnie Julian now, friend of Patricia here, as he has open heart surgery tomorrow, and he's saved. Pray that God will go. Let's have another word of prayer. Father, we bring Donnie Julian to you. We don't know him, but Father, he's a member of the household of faith. He's saved. And God, I pray you'll go with him tomorrow up in, Lord, in the hospital there as he has this open heart surgery at Holston Valley, I believe it is, or wherever it is. God, I pray you be with him. And Lord, bring him through, and may he come through with a real testimony for Jesus Christ. Guide the doctors and the technicians and the nurses as they perform the surgery, God, and just see him through by your power, and may be conscious you help tonight as he faces surgery in the morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, again, pray for Tracy that you'd help her as she, Lord, faces this, Lord, situation in the morning where they'll induce labor, take the baby. Pray you'd just undertake for her and, Lord, all of this list and the Bettis girl with pneumonia. And, Lord, so many needs. We just bring them to thee tonight and have your way in their lives and their situations in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A lot of people ask the question, does it pay to pray? Well, I'd hate to think what we'd do if we couldn't pray, wouldn't you? I mean, I'll tell you what, it's good to just turn something over to the Lord. It gives you peace and know it's from the Lord's hands, and he'll help you to face whatever it is. It's not always going to be a good report. And Lord will help you there too. And if he wants to heal you, wonderful. If he doesn't, still great if the Lord goes with you. Well, anyway, let's go to Jeremiah lesson 28. Jeremiah. Lesson 28. And turn to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. And Jeremiah, the word Jeremiah means whom Jehovah has appointed. Now, I've mentioned a number of times previously, a couple of times, that anytime in the Old Testament you see a name with I-A-H on it, that means Jehovah. Like Nehemiah means, as I pointed out before, Jehovah comforts. And then Amaziah means Jehovah strengthens. And right on down, I've mentioned many A-I-H's on, and that means Jehovah. And then the other part tells what Jehovah does. It's a message. Many of them, all of them with I-H is a message about Jehovah. But Jeremiah's father was Hilkiah. And this is not the same Hilkiah now we find in 1 Chronicles 6 there. It's another Hilkiah. And Jeremiah was born in a little town 3 miles north of Jerusalem, Anathoth. And so he was a small town boy. Whereas, as we mentioned about Isaiah, he was a city boy. And Jeremiah was born into a family of priests. His father was a priest. And we read in Jeremiah 1:1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So he was born into the Aaronic priestly line. And then he was living during the days of the prophets Nahum and Zephaniah. And Jeremiah was uniquely qualified for the position of being a prophet of God. And you know, the Lord always chooses the right man for the right job. Do you know that? And then if the thing is, if God called you to do something and you don't think you're qualified and God's called you, somehow God will reach down within you and bring out, He'll bring out talents and abilities that you don't even know you have if God calls you. Just about every preacher, when they're called to preach, people think, my goodness gracious, I think he's missed it. They said that about me. When I announced, I mentioned Sunday night old Lynn, and I told him I was going to be a preacher, he laughed at me. And Scotty, I guess it did you too. How in the world you'd ever preach? And I sort of had my doubts too. But God's used him. And so if we don't have the ability, God can make us able. That's one thing, wonderful thing about Christianity is the supernatural quality. And you take the supernatural quality away from Christianity, and folks, we have no different than the Ruertan Club and the Lions Club and the Moose Club and the Goose Club and anything else, you know. But we have the supernatural quality. God is able to do abundantly above that which you could ask or think. So don't ever say, I can't do it. If God wants you to do it, go ahead, trust Him, and somehow God will see you through. And if He calls you to do it, and you put your best into it and trust Him, you'll do the job. You'll do the job. Now, some can do things better than others, but if God calls you to do something, you can do it. Never forget that. Now, his ministry began in the 13th year of Josiah, about 60 years after the death of Isaiah. Then, after the death of Josiah, then Judah, was on a toboggan slide fast, going down, 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 and finally wound up in Babylonian captivity. And by the way, I think that's where America is right now. We're on the toboggan slide headed down fast. And after Josiah's death, there was no turning back. It was straight into captivity. Josiah was one of the last hopes that Judah had. And folks, today, it just seems like, we're going to start, they're passing laws to let doctors put elderly people away or sick people away. And they're making a hero out of Magic Johnson. And he committed adultery with hundreds of women, it looks like. One NBA star bragged he committed adultery with 20,000 women. I think he's lying like a hound, but anyway. But anyway, I didn't mean that's not my sermon notes, folks, so help me. But anyway, let's get back. America's headed down. Let me move on. I got persecuted in that, and I better move on. You can say things sometimes. You come out, it's too late to draw them back, you know. But anyway, America's on the toboggan slide. I just don't see any way back. I just don't see any way back. I mean, I believe we're going to go down, and I believe the Lord's coming back for his own. And I just believe that the Lord's getting ready to wind things up. But Jeremiah stayed in the land, remained in the land of Judah after the Babylonians took the people in the southern kingdom in Judah into Babylon into captivity. And then he stayed there a while until he was forced to go down into Egypt. He told them not to go, the remnant not to go, to stay in the land, and God will bless you. If you go down there, you'll be exterminated. And they disobeyed God. They said, we're going to go. And they made him go with them down into Egypt. And most of them perished in Egypt. But let's look at what the Old Testament says about Jeremiah. First of all, his call to be a prophet. He was in verse 4, we see his call to be a prophet. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So he had a call from God. God called him and gave him the word to say. And then in verse 5, we see that he had a prenatal call. He was called, God called him before his mother ever conceived him. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly. See, God, folks, you can't take God out of this thing. I mean, God has all power. Before, God knew all about you before you were ever conceived. God knew all about Jeremiah. He called him before I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's a great verse. He was born to be a prophet. Notice what God said. I formed thee. A powerful statement. God said, I formed thee. And he said, I knew thee. Before you ever formed in the belly, before you ever conceived, Jeremiah, I knew you. I knew you. And God knew all about you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. And then he said, I sanctified thee. Before thou came forth out of thy mother's womb. He was called before birth. He was called before conception. He was called before birth. Before he was ever born, God ordained that he be and sanctified him to be a prophet. He said, before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. God, now this, a lot of people think what sanctified means holy. No, it means it's holy in its purpose. But God, like God sanctified this pulpit, set it apart for the purpose of preaching the gospel in this pulpit. And Jeremiah was set apart before he was ever born. And then God said, I not only set you apart, I sanctified thee. He said, before you came out of your mother's womb, I ordained thee. What does ordained mean? It means appoint. He said, I set you apart and I before you were born, and I ordained thee, I appointed thee to be a prophet unto the nations. This verse has always been precious to me ever since I've been, the Lord called me to preach. The Lord just somehow blesses me with this verse and assures me that he, before I was ever born, he called me to preach. And this brings great assurance to my heart to know that God uses this, has used it hundreds of times to just bless my heart with the assurance that he has called me to preach. Then notice Jeremiah's response to God's call. In verse 6, like most of us, most every preacher, when he's some just report for duty and are ready to go. But most of us back off and we're afraid we can't do it. And this is Jeremiah's immediate response when God said, Jeremiah, before you ever conceived, before you were born, I called you. Then said I, verse 6, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And Jeremiah felt his littleness and his unworthiness and his own weaknesses as a man. He said, well, Lord, I'm just a child. I'm just a young man. And I guess most preachers feel that same way. But the Lord says, yeah, you can't do it. That's right. But he said, I can do it through you. And we need to understand that. And if God's calling you to do something tonight, if God's calling you maybe to preach or to be a missionary, whatever it's called, if God's calling you, you can do it with the Lord's help. Then look at what the Lord said in verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God said, Jeremiah, don't say that. He said, don't say that. He said, I will send you. And I will send thee. And that's enough. Jeremiah, don't say I'm just a child, because I'm going to send you. I'll be with you. And brother, I'll tell you, when the Lord says, I will be with you, that's all a preacher needs. That's all, Graham, you need. You go back to Brazil. That's all we need as we serve the Lord, as Christians, is that the Lord has sent us, the Lord is with us, and we can trust him. And he said, you tell them exactly what I want you to tell them. You give them my word. And that's what a man's called to do. Notice I said a man's called to do, to preach when he preaches. He's called to preach, thus saith the Lord. Now, when Moses received his call, the Lord had an office time with Moses. And God just got mad at Moses because he just over and over again kept offering excuses why he couldn't do it. And it's a little different case here, it seems like. Jeremiah offered just one excuse. Lord, I'm a child. I can't do it. Seems like when God told him, yeah, you can, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to give you the words to speak, it seems like then that Jeremiah was willing quickly to respond and go ahead. And so the Lord dealt gently with Jeremiah and tenderly with him. And I'm glad the Lord dealt tenderly with me when he called me to preach. I fought the call to preach 4 years. I really didn't, as I've said numerous times, I really didn't fight the call to preach. I just didn't think I could do it. And folks, I couldn't do it. Not only did I think of it, I couldn't do it. And the Lord had to help me. I mean, I couldn't even get up and give a book for it. I've told you many times. So I wasn't just being humble. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And so after 4 long years, the Lord's call was on me, and I just didn't think I could do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to preach. I didn't, not that I didn't want to be a preacher, I just didn't think I could. And as I've mentioned to you a couple of times, the Lord laid on my heart, my father's life was going to be taken in a car wreck. And we never owned a car. My dad couldn't drive a car. And while I was in Alaska one summer, I picked up the phone, and my dad got the word my dad was killed in a car wreck. I quit playing football, went over to Bob Jones University and started preaching. You know, the Lord, if God calls a man, or if God calls you to do anything, you better just go ahead and do it. Better just go ahead and do it. You're safer to just go ahead and do it. Because if you're God's child, he's going to work in your life, and you will wish you had have obeyed the Lord. But I know my father would have willingly given his life to get me in the ministry, just like I would willingly give my life for my children. And I know you parents would for your children if you felt like it would save them or get them in God's will. But then I started preaching. And Jeremiah offered just a little excuse, but God said, I'm going to be with you. And that's all. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that is all a preacher or anyone else needs to know, is that the Lord is going to go with us. And Jeremiah was called of God to be a preacher. And I believe in a God-called ministry. There's a crowd going around today and says, but they don't believe in no special mysterious call. And that you just need to recognize your abilities. That book, God's Will by Thiessen, I believe, came out a few years ago. It teaches that. This author of that book, when he's asked at his ordination how he knows he's called, he said, "I recognize my God-given gifts." Well, I didn't recognize mine. God called me, and I couldn't get away from it. And I believe a God-called man will have an inner compunction that God has called him to preach. And I just don't believe that. I just don't believe you can do God's work without God's call. And I don't believe a man can make it in the ministry without God's call. And I believe everybody God's call can make. Everybody that God calls can make it if they'll trust the Lord. And when trouble comes, brother, to a preacher, it's good to know that God's called you, or you won't make it. And I know that God hedges his men about, those he calls. And if they look to him, brother, God sees them through. I just think of the way so many preachers are going off today, going off after women. And I can't understand a God-called man running around in adultery. I just can't understand it. Everybody's tempted, but I'll tell you, something has to happen to me. Before I'd start running around chasing women, something had to happen. I wouldn't want to give up my wife or my children or this church or the call of God to run around some other woman. What a terrible condescension for a preacher to do that. And there's a preacher in Mobile, Penn. I mean, it causes so much hurt in my heart that Bill would do. It's all across America. I'm not just up. He was my friend for many years, and I never saw one thing out of him in any way that would make. I've been around him much and never heard him, saw him do one thing or say one thing wrong about around women. It was wrong. I didn't dream that he. And I know when we had Willard Tallman's funeral up there, he went to Knoxville, went to a girly show, and I think got with a prostitute that night after the funeral on his way back to Atlanta. I just can't understand. I mean, you know, what does he gain by all that? He's wrecked himself, wrecked his ministry, had a great world, nationwide ministry, wrecked a great church, and his wife and children. It's just not worth it. And brother, God can hedge us about. I believe God has hedged me about. And then a lot of preachers go off after money. Now this church pays me well, and I appreciate the money this church pays me. But I'll tell you, I settled it a long time ago before I ever came to this church. Money is not going to be the consideration of my ministry. I mean, I wouldn't compromise to get one penny from you. If I had to compromise to get your salary, you could have your salary. You could have your salary. And every preacher has to decide it. He's not for sale. Now, I think a church ought to take care of their pastor. But I've decided a long time ago that I'm not for sale. And your money means that much to me. It doesn't mean that much to me. Because, first of all, I want to be a faithful preacher of the gospel. And my call from God is more important than the money that comes to me. Though I'm like you, I've got to pay the bills, though. And every preacher's got to pay the bills. And then I believe a God-called man looking at the Lord. The Lord is going to hedge him about. You know, well, let me go back. I don't know where Bill Penn was ever saved. I don't know. I'd hate to think he wasn't saved. But it's going on in Kingsport before he left here. I understand now. He confessed. All these years. I know people can fall into sin. I know that, folks. But to go on for years and years and years and years and years and years in adultery. I mean, people can fall. I realize that. A God-called man can fall. But will he go on for 15 or 20 years in sin? And you just wonder. I don't know the answer to that. Well, I didn't. I'm sorry. That's not in my notes either tonight. I just brought that out. But I'm talking now about the temptation for a preacher to go off into false doctrine, apostasy. I believe when God calls a man, he calls him to preach the word, and if he'll just preach the word and lift up Jesus, he'll never go into apostasy. He'll never fall doctrine. And I'll tell you, the greatest, I don't There's no greater thrill, folks, in this world. And I'm when I'll ever get through Jeremiah going this way. I'm running off on so many rabbit tracks. But there's no greater thrill for a preacher than to stand up and just preach about Jesus like I did Sunday morning. Preach about why God, the Lord, can take that poor blind beggar and touch him and give him sight. And Jesus did it. And what a message. I don't know of anything to compromise about that message, do you? I mean, God's word's God's word, and Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. And a preacher, all he needs to do is just preach the word and lift up Jesus. And I believe God can use every preacher in this world that he's called if he'll just preach the book and exalt Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do till I die. That's my greatest thrill in life is just exalting Jesus Christ. That brings joy to my heart. When I don't, and when I, you know, when I start trying to exalt self, you know what happens? I start feeling bad inside. When I reach in and want to get some of the glory from the Lord, I lose the blessing. But if I can just lift up Jesus, if the Lord will just help me just lift up Jesus and be preached the word, it brings great joy to the heart. And just lift him up, not trying to get glory for myself or glory for this church or glory for you, but lifting him up, just giving glory to him. That's where the joy comes in, folks, just exalting Jesus Christ. Well, let me find out where I am now. Okay. Well, let's look now at his commission from the Lord. And the Lord gave Jeremiah a job to do. And he commissioned him to a tremendous job, a difficult task. And first, though, and look at 1:9, the first thing he did, and when the Lord commissioned him, is first of all, he touched him. In verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And before we can do anything for the Lord, we need to be touched by the Lord. Now, folks, we need a touch of God on our lives. You need a touch of God on your life. You know, not only does just a preacher, boy, I have to have the Lord's help or I can't preach. And neither can any preacher. And I hate to get back on Bill Pennell because I love him right now. I hate that he's hurt his ministry, and my heart goes out to him. But Bill Pennell could preach. He could preach where God was with him or not. He's had so much ability. He had so much ability. He could preach where God was 20 foot of him or not. And brothers, God doesn't help me. I strike out. I just need the Lord's help. But we listen. We all need the touch of God upon our lives. And so the first thing after God called him is he touched him. And you need the touch of God. Listen, when you sing in the choir members, you need the touch of God on you. When you walk up to this pulpit to sing a song, you need the touch of God on you. When you stand up to teach a Sunday school class, hey, if you do it in the flesh without the Lord's help, you are a resounding flop. You need God's touch every Sunday when you go in there to teach that Sunday school class. You got to have the Lord's help. Bus captains, how can I have a ministry on my bus route? Get the touch of God on that bus route. I mean, get God to bless him. Bring God in on that bus route. And when you just get the touch of God on things, folks, business picks up. And moms and dads, you need the touch of God in your home to be the father and the mother that you ought to be. Because you can't make it in the home without the help of God. To be the wife for the husband, you ought to be. You need a touch of God. You ought to pray. You husbands ought to pray, Lord, touch me so I can be the husband and the father I ought to be. And you wives, you ought to say, Lord, touch me. I want your touch. I want your help so I can be the wife to my husband and the mother to my children ought to be. We need God's touch. And so the first thing that God did for him was he touched him. Then let me say this, then we'll be through for tonight. I'll pick up here next. But then the second thing he did for him was in Jeremiah 1:10. we see that he gave him a hard twofold task in 1:10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So he gave him a twofold ministry, a task, and it was a negative and a positive ministry. A lot of people say, well, I just believe in being positive. Well, that's not the word of God. There's the negative as well as the positive in the word of God. God said, I'm calling you to tear down that which is opposed to my word and to my will. Tear it down. I mean, tear it down, he said. Root it out. Pull it down. Destroy. Throw down. But then, also he called it to build. We can't just tear down. We can't just tear down. We've got to build. Just like we can't just whip our children all the time and get on them all the time, we've got to encourage them. We've got to build our children up. We've got to not suppress them. We've got to encourage them. There comes a time when you ought to lay it on them. But then there's most of the time we ought to encourage them. So we need encouragement. And so it can't be just either negative or positive. It's both and. It's not either or. It's not that. It's both and. We need to be against that which is wrong and for that which is right. We need to tear down that which is wrong and build up and encourage. So he's given a twofold ministry, to tear down and to build up. Then look at 1:17. Therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Then look down at verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Jeremiah, they're going to fight you, but listen, they're not going to prevail. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know, I really never saw this before. Why could Jeremiah, and we're just getting started on Jeremiah tonight, and I'll finish it next week, but I'm just going to hurry through the rest of it. But I often wondered how a man of God, and I didn't understand Jeremiah's life till I started studying for tonight. God assured him, I'm going to be with you. They're going to fight you. They're not going to prevail. Jeremiah, I'm going to deliver you. And so Jeremiah could walk right in and tell them God's word, because God had promised him, I'm going to deliver you. That's why. That's the key to Jeremiah's success as a preacher and a prophet. God said, I'm going to be with you. And really, he promises all of his children, lo, I am with you always, even in the world. So we've got God on our side. Let's be faithful to him, and he'll see us through till he takes us home. He'll see us through. Well, I didn't get as far in teaching tonight as I thought I was, but I enjoyed it myself. I don't know where you did or not. Okay. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Be here tomorrow night, visitation, at 6:50. Brother Larry Stover, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?